All right. Welcome, everybody, to Voice of the Believers Church, Sunday morning edition.
Amen. Welcome, where we come to learn how to overcome and win in life. And this is our Pastor Lyle Swavel.
And this is Pastor Monica Swavel, for those that don't know. Hallelujah.
Amen. And we just want to start off with a welcome to y'all. Praise God. We're changing up our
itinerary. Is that
our
what this
itinerary.
Is called?
Yeah. That's right.
Look at that. That's a big word for me. She even gave me a list of what to do. I got a list of what to do, Hallelujah. And number one is announcements.
That's right.
I'll be teaching on Monday Night Recovery. It starts here at 6:30 to Monday night, tomorrow night. And then God will give me a teaching on that. I'll stay that this afternoon. And then Wednesday night, Monica, she's teaching this morning, and she'll teach continuing on Wednesday night. Praise God.
So amen.
That's our total of our announcements so far. And now it's testimonies.
Amen.
You can do 2 to 3 minutes. Don't go over too long, but 2 to 3 minutes. If you have a testimony, come on up and take the mic. Feel freely.
Yes, it'll be encouragement to the church. Praise God.
Anyone? Anyone got a testimony? What God's
well,
done with?
I have one.
Okay.
Well, I want to start off with where I started getting the vision for our new direction. We're going to start a new vision. We're going to have the prayers and the confessions for everyone starting next week, and it's the possessing the land vision. We possess the land in the spiritual realm, the financial, social, every realm, possess the land in Jesus' name. And we got that from I don't remember the name of the church, but it's in the Guinness Book of World Records of the biggest church and biggest congregation in the world right now. It beat Dr. Cho in Korea. And it's David Oedipo. I think I'm saying it right, finally, in Nigeria. And it's huge. It's so huge. They had all these church buildings that they built, and they meet at a circle, and each section is 10,000 people. I don't even know how many people are in the church, but it's pretty big. It's pretty big. And he started his church in the middle of the jungle in Nigeria. He got a hold of Gloria Copeland. And what happened was he prayed to God. He said, I'm tired of all the oppression. I'm tired of all the evil I see all around me. Please do something. And so we heard from God saying, yes, I'm tired of it too. So he said, okay, let's do something about it. And he got a hold of Gloria Copeland's teachings. And so he started getting all their teachings, and he started in the middle of the jungle. Praise God. So we're in good company, right? We are in, amen. And so, we talked to our pastor recently, and he said, in the mission field, they're just so hoping, so hungry for the word of God. And he was saying, here it's not so much, but you know what? We are making a proclamation. They are hungry for the truth and the word of God here in our cities and in our nation, in Jesus' name. We are saying they are hungry. That's my testimony. You going to do the offering? Amen. Any other testimony?
Nothing. I'm going to get up there and do my.
Amen.
Oh, she moving? She's moving.
3 minutes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Introduce yourself, who you are.
The things that they do at the church.
Oh, do they? Okay. Oh, okay. I'm Laura Ottmer, and I'm sister of Lyle and Monica. I just want to say that God always comes through, even when it doesn't look like it's going to be possible. You just trust in him, and he brings the most awesome help just when you need it, and it's just so precious how he does that, just so timely. And I was just thinking last week the message was about favor. And he had me so for favor, not even knowing before what the message was going to be. He gave me Psalms 5. And he just brought to my mind the scriptures that we pray over every morning about how God sees us as the apple of his eyes, that we're his apple of his eyes, and that he gives us favor with God and men, and that will open doors of influence for people. And I just remember saying those testimonies of how God favors us, and he just brings people in that want to do good things for us. And so this young man came in and wanted to help me with my computer just because. And then he said, I just felt like I wanted to do something for you. And I was just like, that's the testimony of God's favor that he has for his children, and that we can walk in that favor. So, yes.
Praise the Lord.
You,
God
Bishop.
Is good, isn't he?
Amen.
He is good. I'm going to do the tithes and offerings real quick, and then when we're changing up after I do the tithes and offerings, and is she going to take them up before we praise God, and then we praise God for the tithes and offerings, or what? While we praise. Okay. Then y'all don't like that. We'll get distracted on praising while she's taking them up. She won't be out there in the limelight. Everybody will be worried about praising instead. She'll like that, get the attention off her so much. I know it. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking actually about tithing. Tithing. Yeah. You know, where's your tithe go? It goes to God. It actually belongs to God, what it does. We have the privilege of being a tither. It's a privilege to be a tither. God said he will not go without a cheerful giver here on earth, a cheerful tither, praise God. Malachi chapter 3, we're all familiar with that verse. It talks about how God, if you bring your tithes into the storehouse of the Lord and prove him in it, he shall open the windows of heaven, pour out blessings on you. There's not room enough to contain it all. Not room enough. Windows of heaven. And God doesn't play around with words like people do that they get from the devil and stuff playing around. When he says open the windows of heaven, he'll pour it out on you, praise God. Thank you, God. I'm ready for that. Hallelujah. Pour it out on it. You know, he said it over there in Noah's day. He opened the windows of heaven, pour out the rain on them. What did it do? Flooded this earth. So it's just, like I said, he don't play with words. And if someone gets to that point, the windows of heaven are flooded, and you're just overtaken by the blessings of God. Hallelujah. And then the word says also, so you got God. You got God pouring it out on you. You got it coming from God because you're a tither. And then Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. Shall man give into your bosom? Well, here you got men giving into your bosom. You got it coming from both ways, praise God. What you should be having, hallelujah. Coming from both ways. And one thing I learned years ago from Kenneth Copeland was to tithe on my gross, not my net. That way, my taxes are covered. I've never had any problems with my taxes, praise God. And I've always tithed on my gross. You know, just something I learned a long time ago. In fact, he says their tax people have favor with the IRS. And whew, when you have favor with the IRS, that's awesome, praise the Lord. Ecclesiastic says to cast your bread upon the water and it will come back to you. Casting your bread. So this is a continual lifestyle of tithing. Not someone that just tips or does it every once in a while. You're doing it steady. You're doing it. When your finances raise, you're giving more. You're steadily doing it. Tithing, praise God. And the key to that is to continue to give until the point of it in life where the bread is coming back on every wave. You have money coming back to you on every wave, praise God. The more you give out, the more that's going to come in. Hallelujah. Look over at Hebrews 7:8. Hebrews 7:8. We're going to talk about how Jesus. It says here in the New Testament that Jesus receives the tithes. And he is our high priest. 7:8 of Hebrews. Here mortal men receive tithes. Talking about mortal man. But there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Jesus receives them where he's at, praise God. Hallelujah. And as he is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. And he's our high priest. So Jesus does receive our tithes. It's in the New Testament. Hallelujah. It's there. It's there. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1. I'm learning. We're believing. We're seeding for the be and flow return is what we're seeding for. And I'm taking the word of God now and seeing how they presented it to God. It is neat if you'll study this out and see how God taught them, the people, to present it to him. Hallelujah. 26:1. And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance and you possess it. Possessing the land. And dwell in it. That you shall take some of the first fruits of all your produce of the ground which you shall bring from the land and that your God is given you and put in a basket. Go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to that one who is the priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. So they were, if you'll notice through there, even keep on going, then the priest shall take the basket out of the hand and set it down for the altar of the Lord God and shall say. They're saying in answer, the say for the Lord, my father was a Syrian about to perish. And it talks about how God, what they were saying is how they were brought out of where they were from Egypt and everywhere else, and how God has brought them into a land of milk and honey, praise God. That's what they're talking about. So we have a saying for that too, praise God. We're going to be able to, our saying is, I was a sinner, but I was called out by Jesus, my high priest, and now have been delivered out of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. And here is my tithe, and Lord Jesus, take it to the altar and worship my father with it. Well, we're going to pray over that. And Monica and I already did it last night when we did our tithes. We're not done doing it yet, but that's what we're going to pray over it. If you have anything you're believing for, we're going to pray over it. Like debt-free, attach it to it. Lord, I'm believing to be debt-free. This is my seed. I'm believing to be debt-free. If you have anything else, whatever you're believing for in Jesus' name, attach it to it, praise God, in faith. For your children or whatever it is, praise God, attach it to it. Say it out loud and just speak it over it, praise God. Kenneth Copeland, he had a friend in Little Rock, Arkansas. This friend was on his board of evangelistical association. And it got to the point where that guy couldn't even buy a job. It was so bad. And they were having a meeting, and he showed up. And Kenneth said, wait till we're after the meeting, we'll pray about it. And they got together, and they started praying. And they laid hands on the checkbooks, and they did plead the blood of Jesus over his bank account and checkbooks. And then God said to Kenneth, there's not much to pray about. There's not much there to pray about. And they quoted off scriptures out of Malachi 3:10. Let's look over there. He quoted these off. Malachi chapter 3:10 through 13. That's what God gave him. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open up you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you, there's not room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruits of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations shall call you blessed, for you are a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. So what did he do? And see, verse 13 talks about the word stout against them. This man's words were not stout against God. He was believing and trusting God. Hallelujah. So, and like I said earlier, God didn't fool around words. The windows of heaven poured out on you. You know, that's just like in the Noah's day of the flood. And what did he say? This is what they did. Satan, in the name of Jesus, get your hands off this man's business, because he is the tither. And that's as far as it went. They just rebuked devour, because God rebuked devour right here in Malachi chapter 3:10 and 11. He says, I will rebuke devour for your sakes, because you're a tither. Hallelujah. He rebuked it, and that's all they said. And went on about their merry way. And within 2 or 3 weeks, he called back, and Kenneth was asking him, how's everything going? He goes, oh, my gosh, man. After you did that, I got them calling me at 4 o'clock in the morning wanting me to do jobs. I can't shut this thing off, praise God. He said, I'm actually getting where I can pick jobs, hallelujah. And he was just so excited. And then there's 3 years later, he actually Kenneth talked to him again about it and said, how's that been going? He said, doing great. He says, if anything just starts to slow down a little bit, I say, I thank you, God. I'm a tither. And Satan, you remember the deal. You remember the deal, Satan. You're rebuked. You know, praise God. There was a tithing man down in South Texas who owned a citrus farm. And the weather was calling for a freeze. So, and you've read the New Testament hopefully enough times to understand what Abraham, remember when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and his nephew Lot and his wife and 2 daughters were there, and he was fixing to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sexual perversion that was in that city. And Abraham actually talked to God, said, wouldn't the judge of heaven and earth do what's right? If there's 40 just men there, you would not destroy that city, would you? And it went on down, and there wasn't enough people that were righteous in that city not to destroy it because it was so evil. But God did sent his angel and got Lot and his wife and two daughters out of that perverse city because it was so perverse. But see how my point of this is, see how man actually was talking to God. Abraham talked to God. You're the judge of heaven and earth. You do what's rightly. So this man in South Texas went out there to in the middle of his field, his citrus field, and said this: Lord God, I'm a tither. I don't have to do it. I do it because I want to. I love you and you love me. You know it and I know it. They're saying a freeze is coming this way, and I'm expecting you to take care of this property because your word says that my vine shall not fail to bear fruit for you in the field. He was reading out of Malachi there. And I believe the God of heaven and earth will do what's right. Satan, I remind you, as a tither, I have certain rights and privileges as a tither, and God will rebuke you for my sake. And he walked off his property, and that night and morning, every citrus field froze around his field except for his. It was just fine, praise God. That's how it works, hallelujah, because you're a tither. Your stuff will stay good, hallelujah. It keeps running right. Glory to God. Now we're going to present this. We're going to pray and present this to Jesus, and he's going to take it to our Father. All right, y'all ready to pray? Father God, we just thank you, Lord. Your word says over in Malachi chapter 3 to bring our tithes into the storehouse of the Lord. And Jesus, we were a sinner, but you called us out, Jesus, as our high priest, and we've been delivered out of darkness and translated in the kingdom of your dear son, Jesus. Here's our tithe. Jesus, sitting at the altar of our Father and worship him with it. Lord, you said that you'd open the windows of heaven, pour out blessings on us, not room enough to receive it. You rebuke, devour, touch our stuff. The enemy shall not destroy the fruits of the ground, and all shall call us blessed. And Lord, you said, give and it shall be given to us, give measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in our bosom. Same measure of meat with us, be measured us again. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for it. Lord, we give you honor and praise for it. Lord, we're believing for the billion, we're seeding for the billion flow, billions of salvation, billions of healings, billions of dollars come back into to do your will, Lord. Because we thank you for it, Lord. We're giving you the honor and praise, and we give you praise. All right, you can pick that up, please. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we just come before you, ready to hear a message from you, Lord. But it has to be your message, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we do need you. We need your help in our nation. We need your help in our own hearts to keep our hearts from being hard, from being stuck in traditions, Father. We're seeking you. We're seeking your presence. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, because you said to study to show yourself approved, but, Lord, just anoint me now, Father God. And, Lord, you promised in your word you would confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles. You said you're looking to and fro to show yourself mighty, and here we are, Lord. We're seeking you. We're seeking your wisdom. We're seeking those mighty miracles that we need, Father God, in our hearts and in our bodies and in our cities and in our families, Father God. We just thank you, Lord. And just guide me and direct me. Give us ears to hear and hearts that understand, because you said when we understand, we would be healed. And, Lord, I'm praying and believing and expecting we're going to leave here different. We're going to leave here healed, set free, delivered, ready to fulfill all that you've called us to fulfill, all those good works you've called us to do. And, Satan, I bind you now from operating against us and against this message. You are not welcome here. You get out in Jesus' name. And all who agree say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. 2016 is a year of breaking loose. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we're ready to see the manifestation. We're ready for his help, aren't we? Praise God. Sometimes we have to make adjustments to do it, to seek and press in more. Amen. Amen. All right, well, I'm doing this morning part four of Can America Be Saved? Can America Be Saved? And I want to do our foundational scriptures. And the first one is Psalms 33:12. And it says this: blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Amen. Let me move this over. So we want to be blessed, isn't that right? We want to be blessed. We need to be blessed. And the second one is 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says this: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their hand. Can America be saved? And the title of this message this morning, number four, is choose faith in God. We choose. And you know, I got a couple of scriptures after I got all my scriptures put on my phone, so I have two scriptures we're actually going to have to look up. But God gave me these. And the first one I want us to look at before we get into this is Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. So let's look there, please. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. And it says, this message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and on your heart, so that you can obey it. Now listen. Today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. And then if you go down to verse 19, it says this: today I have given you the choice between life and death. I'm choosing life. Between blessings and curses. That's right. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. Now, it says here, where is it? Oh, my gosh. I can't even see it right here. Listen, I'm giving you that choice between life and death. He says, for I command you this day to love the Lord your God and keep his commands. I've given you the choice between life and death It says here, now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. To witness, it's in our Bible. So we have witnesses to the choices we're making. All of heaven and earth is watching the choices we're making. History is recording the choices we're making. Now one more scripture I want us to look up, and that's Hebrews 12:1. before we get into this? Hebrews 12:1 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses," in the King James, "a huge cloud of witnesses." We have witnesses in heaven. They are watching us as we make our choices. History is recording us. Amen? So we are to choose faith in God. Can America be saved? If we choose faith in God. Amen? Now, the first scripture I want us to start with is Jeremiah 29:7. Jeremiah 29:7 says this. In the New Living, it says, "Work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare would determine your welfare." Amen? Seek the welfare of the city where I sent you. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you, because if it prospers, you will prosper. So we are to work for the prosperity of our nation. We don't just pray about it. We just don't talk about it. We need to work for the prosperity of our cities, because that's how we'll live in peace and prosperity. Amen? Here's the Message version. It says, "Make yourselves at home there." And see, this was when they were carried away. But don't you know this is for today? It says, "Work for the country's welfare. Pray for Babylon's well-being." Because if things go well for Babylon, things will go well for you. Amen? We need to pray for the welfare of our city, and we need to work for the good welfare of our city. Amen? We are to occupy. You know, Jesus has come back anytime. It could be today, because everything is set in place. We see the signs. God, Jesus told us what it would be like. We're at the end of the age. But even if Jesus comes tomorrow, we are to still occupy and do the word of God. Amen? Let's look at Isaiah 9:6. Isaiah 9:6. Let me go down a little bit. "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders." Jesus is coming with a government, right? "And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and his government," and then the peace that it brings, "will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice." Right? That's right. He will rule with fairness and justice. Our first president, we all know who the first president was. It was George Washington. He was the very first president, the first leader. And see, it's become a political issue now, because there's people that have agendas to destroy us. You know, it's hard to believe, but there really is people. I mean, we forgive them. We know they're deceived and under the influence of the enemy, but still, we are not to just let stuff happen. We are not to just go into the gas chambers. We are to follow after the example of our founding fathers, is what we are to do. Even the people of Israel, in the story of Esther, they had the duty to defend themselves for our children, our grandchildren's sake. And that's why we're doing this. We're having churches all over the nation teaching the truth, because we're hoping we don't have to take up our arms. Right? We're hoping we don't have to, but if we have to, we have to. But see, we've tried not to, but we have to get our people educated, and we need to get ourselves stirred up so the Christians can go and take possession. We have to do for this. We have a duty to our children and our grandchildren to leave this nation better than the way we got it. Amen? And we need the help of God Almighty. It's serious. This is serious stuff. Right? And so we call on God, and God will keep his promises. He is a faithful God. Amen? And so George Washington, he was a hero in the 1700s and 1800s. He was a hero. He was taught to the children as a hero. But in the 19th century, he's been mischaracterized. His character and morals slandered. Because it was a political issue. They had a political agenda. And he was a signer of the Declaration of Independence. There was 56 signers. And he was a general in the Continental Army. He became commander-in-chief of the Continental Army. He was a president of the Constitutional Committee, because they had a convention of states, which is what they're trying to do right now to save our nation. They're trying to gather up the states so we have enough states to do it and get the government under control of the Constitution again. Praise God. So we need to pray for them. And there was a statue that was made to honor him. He wrote hundreds of books. And John Frederick Schroeder wrote about him in 1855, and it's called The Maxims of Washington. And I'm going to tell you why I'm bringing this up. And in it, he wrote how President George Washington was not ashamed of being a Christian. But in 1926, it was reprinted. It was 1926, it was reprinted. They took out the introduction of each section. They took out all the eyewitness accounts. And they put in new commentaries. And it was lies. Lies. They said that he was a deist, a godless rebel. And there was not one footnote. Not one. See, it affects public policy. So that's why they've changed. They've lied. They have no scruples. They have a serious agenda. Sure, he was a slave owner, but I don't know if we know, but he was a leader of the abolitionist movement. He co-wrote the first anti-slavery law to try and get the freedom of slaves, because King George made a law preventing them from freeing the slaves. They went about gathering all the ones that were freed. And when George Washington was between ages of 12 and 14, he inherited hundreds of slaves. But he went broke trying to take care of them, because he had that responsibility. And it saddened him that they were stuck in this predicament. That was one of the reasons why they pushed forward to separate from Britain. And see, I didn't know, but we were only one vote away from being a slave-free nation. One vote. And they really, our founders really didn't think it was going to be much longer before it was abolished. They really couldn't understand. I'm sure if they had known that we were stuck for hundreds of years with it, they would have probably pressed harder. They really thought it wouldn't take much longer. Amen. And 1/4 of the Continental Army were African American. 1/4. And 2 of them were his personal officers, and he refused to be let them be treated than anything less than the others. In fact, I should have taken pictures, but they don't focus on the pictures that they were always next to him. His personal officers. And after he died, there was an article in the paper slandering him, calling him a Unitarian. And this was in 1779, and Unitarians weren't even organized at that point in time. And there was all kinds of lies. They were accusing his morals. But his contemporaries and his families, don't we know that our families and our people who hang around us, they know the worst of us, right? They know our weaknesses. They know our faults more than anyone else. But it was his contemporaries, his family members, that confirmed his morals, high moral character, high moral. In fact, he had such a great reputation. He was a hero. In fact, I have one book here. It's at the church library. And he was a hero, and they talked about how they tried to kill him. He was the only one of the officers on horseback that didn't die. And one Indian chief searched him out years later after the war and said, "I shot you several times, but our Creator God protected you. I wanted to meet you and shake hands." Amen. And so they told, there was miracles after miracle of how God helped our founding fathers to get free. And I'm going to talk more about that, the miracles of it, on Wednesday. I'm excited about it. And so the way our leaders are presented affects the agenda. It's become a political issue. But see, he was a strong Christian. He prayed healing over his stepdaughter, adopted daughter Nellie, laid hands on her and she was healed of fever. Back then they didn't have Tylenol to get rid of fever. Most of them died from the fever, not from the actual sickness. But she was healed. And so, you know, they were dealing with anti-God and abortion and all that, even back then. And it seems unfair because they can lie, and here we are, Christians, and we can't lie. But you know what? We have a God. We have a God. Are we going to trust him? Let's look at Proverbs 3, verse 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so you'll find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Isn't that good? We have to keep it before me. Amen. Let's look at Psalms 5, verse 11. But let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever sing and shout for joy, because you make a covering over them and defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you and be in high spirits. Praise God, he will be our defense when we call to him for our refuge and our help. Amen. We don't have to turn to other people. We don't have to turn to other nations. We can turn to the great creator I am, who is our redeemer. Isn't that good news? And see, faith and prayer and God was taken out of our public square and out of our schools, out of our education. But guess what? That means it was in there. In fact, I looked it up. The first public school opened in 1647, and there was a public prayer right there on the steps. And there were sermons and Bible and worship right there. That's right. And I found some more information. I'm excited about it, sharing it when I get to it. Amen. And I'll tell you, recently, and we've seen it happen here too, but recently, I guess about a couple years ago, an entire community wanted prayers in school, student-led, even though it shouldn't have to be just student-led, but they wanted to put prayer in school every day, student-led, over the microphone. Well, some people heard about it, and one guy moved into the community to put a stop to it, and a judge, backed with the U.S. Marshal standing ready, said that you cannot use the name of Jesus, or that student will spend 6 months in jail. Not even robbery gets that much time, just for saying the name of Jesus. That is a travesty. I will use that word again. And I'll tell you, it's against our own government. In 1774, Congress, our original politicians, the first politicians, they opened with prayer. They actually, what they do, they went to church. They prayed and studied four chapters of the Bible. In fact, they spent 3 hours reading the Bible. They said that there was tears. Even the stern Quakers had tears in their eyes. It was so moving, the presence of God. And then they went back to the Capitol building and discussed the Declaration of Independence and what kind of government was needed. Amen? That's our original politicians. You know, in the last teaching, remember I said that we've been told that Christians were never involved in politics and should not be? That's not true, is it? It is not true. Amen. On Saturday, October 17th of 1789, right after Congress finished writing the First Amendment of the Constitution, they made a proclamation of prayer and thanksgiving for the whole nation, thanking God for their help. Amen. And George Washington said, it is the duty of nations to acknowledge God. The duty of nations to acknowledge God. You know why he said that? Because of that first scripture. Psalms 33:12. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. We want to be blessed, don't we? Amen. He thanked God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then Jefferson's first book, Thomas Jefferson's, talked about the need for God in our nation. And in the 18th chapter, he said, a nation cannot expect to be secure without acknowledging that our liberties are a gift from God. Our God in heaven is a firm foundation. And then he said, I tremble to think what may happen if we forget our God. What would happen to our protection and our liberty is what he said. And Benjamin Franklin, another original politician, in 1787 said, God is to be our ally, not our adversary. He is to be our friend, not our enemy. Except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. Amen. In 1853, a group of people wanted to turn all public expressions of religion to be removed. They wanted it removed. This was in 1853. But you know what? Congress and the Supreme Court refused. In fact, you know what they did? They reprinted the Bill of Rights, Constitution, and a letter of intent to prove it. Isn't that good? See, in our 1700s and 1800s, our civic leaders, our judges, our lawyers, our doctors, our educators, they were taught the Bible. The Bible. In fact, that's what our lawyers used for their law books, was the Bible. And the Word of God was the source of success and ideas. It was all found in the Word. Patrick Henry said that the Word was worth more than anything. Noah Webster said it was the corrector of evil. It frees us from the evil of slavery, injustice, and violence. Dr. Benjamin Rush said, the word needs to be taught in the schools for the good of the world and the next world. Amen. James McHenry, he was a signer of the Declaration, which is our birth certificate, so he's an original politician. He was the first Secretary of War. He said the word creates security for our nation. Can you imagine? The word of God said it creates security for our nation, brings justice, it brings stability, it brings purity and goodness. In vain, no word, no security, no word, no liberty. No God, no increase, is what he said. But the good news is we can invite him back and he'll come. Right? He'll come. You know, many of them were preachers. And see, the British accused the preachers from starting the war. In fact, they would capture preachers and put them in POW camps, is what they did. They were angry. The British forces were burning down churches and towns and businesses. And one pastor, a Reverend Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg, he had two churches. One was the English Methodist, and the second was the German Lutheran. And the Declaration wasn't signed yet, but the British were already burning down towns and businesses. They had burnt down their neighboring town, so it'd be like burning down Mount Pleasant, right? And so he came in front of the church on a Sunday morning. He had his robes. He quoted Ecclesiastes 3:8, which I should have looked that up. But I think it said a time for, I need to look it up. I'll do it. But anyway, he took off his pastor's robe, and he had on his military uniform and his guns. And he said, now we are to defend ourselves. And so 300 of his congregation signed up and became the 8th Virginia Regiment. And his brother Frederick opposed it. He didn't agree with it. But he changed his mind when his house got burnt, and he ended up being the first speaker of the house. These are the original politicians of our nation. They have lied to us. I forgive them, but we can't accept it. We cannot just accept it. Pastor James Caldwell challenged anyone to take away his Bible or gun. And he would preach on Sundays, and he would fight the war Monday through Saturday. That's right. He was a fighting preacher. We have a duty. Let's look at Romans 13, verse 4. Romans 13, verse 4. Verse 4 says, For he is God's, he's talking about authorities, civil authorities, okay? For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He's talking about the sword of civil government. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So they're saying, They are to be a minister of God, ordained of God. That's why everyone in civil authority had to lay their hands on the Bible and make an oath to God that they would follow the Bible. That's, and then they would make an oath to follow the Constitution. Because we are not in a physical fight. This is a spiritual war. It's a war of ideas. It's a war of opinions that the enemy has planted in the minds of men. And we can be deceived, every single one of us. They recognized it. They recognized it. That's why we had the government be limited, because too much power cannot be trusted with mankind. We can't even trust our own opinions. That's why we have to stick with this, because we can be deceived. Me too. If I don't stick with this, who knows what kind of ideas I can come up with. We need to pray for them, and we need to get active. But let's look at Ephesians 6:12. This is what we're standing up against, but praise God, they've been defeated. We just have to enforce it. It says this, "For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against the evil rulers, the authorities of this unseen world, this dark world, mighty powers in this dark world, evil spirits in the heavenly places." It's a spiritual battle. Which is a good thing. It's a good thing, because that's been defeated. Praise God. We just need to enforce it. So we're not to lose heart. All right? We are stewards of our nation. We're responsible to leave it better for our children. We're responsible before God. And we have elections coming up in November. That's right. And not just the race of who will be the king. That's not just the most important position right now. Local, state, federal judges, school boards, it's all important right now. This is it. This is important. Every position, they must support the Word of God. They must support the Constitution. They must support the right to life. Because if they don't care about the Constitution, if they don't care about the Word of God, if they don't care about life, they're not going to care about us. They're not. As Christians, we have a duty to God to be faithful stewards of this Christian nation that He gave us. Amen? We have to leave it better than how we got it. We have the duty to stand against oppression, against dictators, and those who would deny God's gift of liberty and freedom for all. Amen? As Christians, we have a duty and a command to not vote for the lesser of two evils. Yep, I said it. Even if there's no other choice, we have a duty to not vote for the lesser of two evils. I know that sounds controversial. I know that sounds even irresponsible to some, uncomfortable. But let's look at it from the perspective of God's Word. Amen? Let's look at Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 says this, "But test everything. Hold on to what is good. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good." The King James says, "Prove all things. Hold on to what is good." But then you go to verse 22. "Stay away from every kind of evil." Not just a little evil. All evil. "Abstain from every form of evil." From all appearance of evil, even if it looks bad, stay away from it. Amen? We are to prove all things. Daniel was told he had to eat the king's meat. Maybe it was demonic meat, we don't know. But there was a reason he couldn't eat that meat. And he didn't go around saying, "Well, I guess I'll choose the lesser of the unclean meat." Did he do that? No, I will not compromise. I will not eat. And then when Daniel was told he couldn't pray, he didn't go and say, "Well, I guess I'll pray quietly so they don't hear me." No, what did he do? He opened that window. He prayed out loud 3 times a day. That's what he did. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was told they had to bow down to the statue every time they played the music, they didn't go say, "Well, when the lesser music is played, we'll bow down." No, they did not bow down. They were faithful to God because they knew God was would be faithful to them. They said, we might burn, but we will not bow down. They had faith, and they were faithful. They knew the God they served was a faithful God, so we have to be faithful. Amen? Now, let's see how this verse ends. Let's look at verse 23. Now, may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. We are to stay blameless. Amen? Because he's faithful. Are we going to vote to please men? Or are we going to vote to please God? Thomas Paine said, these are the times that try men's souls, because there's pressure. There's pressure from the enemy. Financial pressure, political pressure, pressure all around. These are the times that try men's soul, but God is faithful. Are we going to vote because we are afraid of men, afraid of what they might do? Or are we going to vote because we're faithful to God? We're more afraid of what might happen if we don't do the right thing. Out of faithfulness, right? I believe that if we operate by faith, God will be faithful to provide. When his people, that's us, when we continue to vote for the lesser of two evils, God must think we're okay with it. We're preventing him from acting on our behalf. We're planting seeds of evil. Apparently we're saying that, you know what, God's choice, the choice that follows after God, is not electable in our nation. Is that what we're saying? That's not what I'm going to say. Nope. We'll have to answer to him and our children and grandchildren one day. We have people watching us, heaven and earth. The choice is to not vote the lesser of two evils. It may seem reckless, I know. But the truth is this. It should be more reckless to vote for evil. It should make us more uncomfortable to vote for evil. It should make us more afraid to vote for evil. Amen? Maybe God is waiting to see us use our action with our faith. Just praying isn't enough. We have to take action. We have to put our action to line up with the Word of God. Then we will be blameless when Jesus does come. Amen? We want to be blameless. It's not my fault. God will take action, right? Amen. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 7:14 again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We got to turn from our wicked ways. That's part of it. And I have to tell you, just that one, our liberty isn't going to stand or fall just from that one. All right? Every vote we do, and every action we do, and every prayer we do, and every confession we do is what's going to secure our liberty. Amen? So it's not going to be reckless. In fact, it's going to be recorded in history that we did not participate in that. That we made the right choice and we trusted God. Isn't that good? Amen. Instead, we're planting seeds of liberty instead of seeds of oppression. Seeds of goodness and honesty. Seeds of faith. See, are we going to trust him? John Philpot Curran, he served in Parliament in Ireland. He was a statesman and he was a champion of the Irish Patriots. In the 1790, he said, listen to this, it is the common fate of the indolent, which means lazy and inactive, to see their rights become prey to the active. Wow. The condition upon which God grants liberty to man is eternal vigilance. And if that condition is broken, servitude is his punishment and the immediate indication of his guilt. We just have to persevere and not give up. If we don't give up, we're going to win because we have a blood covenant with Jesus and we have promises that are yes and amen. Amen. We have promises that he will back us up. And see, the definition of eternal vigilance is not once every 2 years. We need to get involved. We need to get Christians involved. Dear Christian, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and this is for on the CD too, why can't we choose God? Why can't we trust him? Why can't we not decide to choose evil? And by faith, wait and see what God does. Amen? God cannot bless evil, no matter how little it is, or no matter how we excuse it, or how we hedge ourselves around it. He can't bless that. Amen? Let's look at Galatians 6:7. Y'all love me? It says, do not be deceived. Do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. God cannot be. You will always harvest what you plant. Whatever we plant, we will reap. But we have good news. Let's look at Psalms 91. Let's look at Psalms 91, verse 9. If you make the Lord your refuge, come on. If you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. Come on. Isn't that good? No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. We have promises that cover everything. Amen. Now, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I might go into detail as it gets closer if God leads me to. But we're intelligent over here. We're intelligent people. Let's stick with the Word of God so we can get God results. Let's go back to our founding so we can have liberty and we can have peace. Because I'll tell you, wherever the Word of God is uplifted, there is peace. There is happiness. Happy families and peace. Everyone's happy, except for maybe one or two handfuls of the Antichrist. But if we, you know what, but they have a chance to get saved where they're at, right? Amen. Well, let's rise up and pray. Amen. Well, Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we do put our trust in you. We will choose faith in you. We will not bow down to the pressure of the enemy because he knows his time is short. He knows his time is short and your return is at hand. And Lord, until then, we will occupy. We will possess the land for the name of Jesus and for the sake of the gospel and because there's people in the valley of decision. There's people that need to get saved. There is darkness trying to overtake our world. We will not give away our authority. We will not do it, Father God. We will put our trust in you, Father. I pray you would help us, Lord. As Christians, the body of Christ, help us. Give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. Let your wisdom saturate the body of Christ in this nation, in every city, every state, in every election, Father God. Give your people wisdom to choose the one. To choose the ones, Lord, that will stand up for the Word of God, that will stand up for life, that will stand up for the principles in your Word, and stand up for the Constitution, Father God. We pray that everyone that is against you and against the Word of God and against the body of Christ and against freedom and against the Constitution will be rooted up from every place of power, every place of authority, every place of leadership, completely rooted out and replaced by godly men and women who will do the right thing. And that includes our judges, that every place of power and authority. We decree it right now. We agree for it. We pray for it. We are working for it. We thank you for it. Now, for those who may be listening to this, and you don't know if you should die tonight, because we don't know, And I'm not saying you will, but if you should die tonight or if Jesus should come back and you don't know where you would go, Romans 3 says all of us have sinned. And Romans 6 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 10 says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and he rose again. And I give you my life. I want you, Jesus Christ, to come into my life and into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. And Lord, give us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We want everything you want for us. We want to be filled with your Spirit. We want that power. We want that boldness to be your witnesses. Make something beautiful out of our lives. And if you prayed that prayer with me, or if you have any other need, you can contact us. We're at voiceofbelieverschurch.org on our website. We're also on Facebook. We would love to hear from you. We'll agree with you on prayer for anything you need. And Lord, I just release us now with the blessing. I thank you, Lord. You said we're blessed going in, we're blessed going out. We're blessed in the city, we're blessed in the field, we're blessed whatever we put our hand to, because you go wherever we go. And Lord, you said that the blessing follows us wherever we go. That's right. And Lord, I thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. No sickness or disease shall come to our house, but with a long life you will satisfy us and show us your salvation. I thank you, Lord, for all those benefits you've given us, Father God. I thank you for the boldness to be your witnesses, that we are the light of the world. I pray, Lord, as we go out of here full of your Spirit, full of your wisdom, full of your truth, Lord, we are going to make a difference to the lives of those around us, Father God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And all who agree say amen. If you have any prayer requests, come, we'll pray with you.